Thanks for joining us this morning. This is like a wedding. Everybody's sitting towards the back. And apparently, look at my sides here. Apparently, the groom has more friends than the bride does, is my guess. Anyway, it's good. Thanks for being here today. I know the streets and the roads are kind of goofy, but thanks for joining us. And we're finishing up our Advent series. It's been 6 weeks. And as kids are going, I'm going to stall here a little bit. He's good. So this week I was in Anchorage from Wednesday to Friday. I flew up with Michael Johnson. We were on the same plane. He was farther up than I was. And it was really good because I got to meet with the elders at Radiant Anchorage. And they have a church building on the east side of Anchorage that was given to them a couple of months ago, and they spent a couple of months getting the church all done up nice inside, and it is really, really great, and they wanted me to convey to you their love, their interest, their blessings on us, and yeah, you know, anytime you're in Anchorage, you're there on a Sunday, I would really hope you'd have opportunity to go by and hang out with them. They are really, really fun. The people in their church look a little different than they do in our church. You see a lot more tats, a lot more earrings, and all that good stuff. But, you know, it's part of who we are. And so it was really, really a treat for me to be able to hang out with them. The weather in Anchorage is no worse than it is here. So I feel like I've spent all week driving like an old man, slowly on icy, snowy roads in a vehicle that is not mine. I've been driving rental cars. So as we look at over the past few weeks, God makes promises and God keeps his promises. And when we talk about faith as believers, what we're really saying is I believe that God is going to follow through and be true to the promises that he makes. He promised hope to Eve way back in Genesis 3. He promised blessing to Abraham. He promised a forever relationship with David. He promised forgiveness to God's people. He promised that to Jeremiah. And he promised righteousness and healing to Malachi, the prophet. And God kept all of his many promises in one great event in world history. This is Luke chapter 2. This is the classic place to go for the Christmas story. It says in chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." We know this part of the story, but there's more to it, because who were the first to hear that this had happened? Who were the first to hear about it, about this baby, this Jesus being born? It was shepherds. Shepherds were, they were poor. From everybody's perspective, they were the outsiders. They were rarely in town. They were outside of the city walls. They were, it was not a profession that made a lot of money. And many times, those that were shepherds were those men who were not firstborn sons. They had no inheritance. They were shepherds. But from God's perspective, everybody is poor. Everybody on the planet is poor from God's perspective. The shepherds were outcasts. But from God's perspective, we're all outcasts. And the shepherds kept sheep that were used primarily for temple sacrifices. But the very act of tending for the sheep day in and day out made the shepherds themselves unclean. So the shepherds were caring for sheep that would be used in temple sacrifices, And these were sacrifices and worship gatherings that the shepherds themselves, because they were unclean, were not even permitted to be a part of. They were prevented from full fellowship with God's people. And yet, from God's perspective, we've all been prevented from fellowship with God's people because we are all in rebellion against God himself. And the shepherds were expected to do a good job. In fact, even if it meant them giving up their own life, laying down their own lives for their sheep, they were expected to do so. So the shepherds' lives themselves were, in effect, sacrifices. And so shepherds knew all about what silent nights were because they lived a lot of them. So the story continues in verse 8. It says, "In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger.' And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased.'" The angel's words painted a picture of this glorious arrival of the promised Redeemer. And the words that the angel used all meant something. The angel called this baby Jesus, called him the Savior, for he would, as Savior, atone for the sins of the people. He called him Christ. It's the Greek version of the word Messiah, for he would deliver his people from the bondage of sin. And the angel called this baby Jesus Lord, because this baby was in fact God, God incarnate, God in the flesh. It says then in verse 15, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them." When the shepherds found out that Joseph and Mary and the baby were in a manger somewhere in Bethlehem, they left their sheep. And so they found themselves, when they found Mary and Joseph, they found them in the place where the littlest of lambs were kept. As those lambs got older, they were moved out to the flocks outside of the city walls. But when those lambs were little baby lambs, they were in this place. These were the lambs who would grow up to be sheep, who would grow up to be sacrificed. But this lamb that they went to go see wasn't covered in wool. He was covered in swaddling cloths. This lamb, this Savior, had been born into their unclean world to be a perfect, ultimate, lasting sacrifice. This baby would accomplish and establish peace between the God of all creation and his image bearers who habitually rejected him. That's why the Christmas carol says, "To ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile until the Son of God appears." The gospel of Jesus, the coming of God to us, is devastatingly humbling. And at the same time, it is incredibly glorious. The shepherds responded the only way they could. They glorified and praised God for all that they had seen and heard, as the angel had told them it would be. As we gather as the church each week, and especially this day, we gather because we want to praise the glories of our God for all that we have seen and heard. We celebrate the communion table each week because it's the high point of our worship together as God's assembled people. We see the bread and we see the juice there, and the bread being his broken body, because this Jesus came as a baby, but he came as God incarnate to pay the price of his own flesh, to die a physical death that would atone for our sin. The juice indicates and shows us that our sin has been covered. Our sin has been wiped away because of who God is and what he has done through Jesus. So I invite you to take a moment. Praise God for all that you have seen and heard. Praise God for the fact that God loved us in spite of our rebellion against him. God sent his son. He sent himself. We had God amongst us. He came, he lived a perfect life so he could be that perfect sacrificial lamb, the once and for all sacrifice for us, so that you and I sit here and we don't have to wonder where we stand with God. We don't have to wonder if we're good enough, because we know that we're not, but Jesus is. We celebrate that at the table each week. We celebrate it this morning. I invite you to take a moment. Praise God for his mercies to you, his mercies to all of us. When you're ready, come up, take a piece of that bread, dip it in the cup. You can take it back to your seat if you like. You can avail yourself to the elements right here, whatever you're comfortable doing. And then we're going to sing a little bit more together, and that'll be it.